Tell me, have you read God's timetable for your life? Have you? Have you checked it carefully? If not, well, now is a good time to lend an ear and check out. Yes, check out what God is saying to you. We're going to begin our sermon tonight in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Have you got that? To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. O Heavenly Father, God of everything that ever was, is, and ever shall be, please, Lord, grant me your blessing as I deliver this message today. And may those who hear these words that you have placed on my heart, may they be fully understood and not return unto you void. O Lord, give me utterance. Give me utterance, Lord. And may you be pleased. May you be pleased. And may Jesus Christ be lifted up. For it's in his name, his precious and holy name, I pray. I've named my message today, Always in Season. Always in season. Yes, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heavens. A time to every purpose. Now, if you wish to open your King James Authorized Version 1611 Bible to Ecclesiastes 3, you may follow along with the message today. And I'm sure you'll receive a blessing. Oh, yes. A blessing of understanding that I have so enjoyed. Okay? Let us begin. I've already stated, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. And then what, you may ask? I'm born and I die, that's it? Well, the beginning and the end, you might say. When you are born, that's the beginning, and when you die, that's the end of your worldly existence. Being born is God's beginning for each of us who are made in His image. I would urge you, though, not to look in the mirror and say to yourself, "Hey, I see God." Please don't do that. In Genesis 1, verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." Over in verse 27, God follows up by declaring the creation of man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Have you got that? Now, we're not going to play which came first, the chicken or the egg. God's word is very clear. First, the man. Then, the woman. This doesn't sit well with much of the world today. They'd rather have it turned around or eradicated altogether. But these are the facts. That God has given to us in His Word. These are God's own words. If we can't get past this truth, of the initial birth, then we are destined to live in dire confusion for a long, long time to come. Now I said, God created male and female. Them. The reference here is both male and female, man and woman, not Jack and Jake, or Jack and Jill. A problem that's arisen is a matter of deep confusion. A deep confusion. Now, what am I, a male or a female? It would seem that there are many nowadays who don't know what they are. Well, I'm not going to get into that because it's obvious what you are. You are what you are. One or the other, male or female. A man went to the doctor and said, Doc, you got to help me. I don't know what I am. Well, said the doctor, that's what I'm here for. I've studied the human anatomy for 30 years, and not once have I mistaken a man for a woman. Ooh. I don't intend to start now, that's what the doc said. The doc had on his office wall wonderfully made male and female diagrams. For medical purposes, of course. Now, pointing to them, he said, without disrobing, tell me, which of these do you look like? Which of these do you look like? The young man pointed to the male. Huh. That's correct, young man. Oh. So, what's your problem? What's your problem? My problem is I look like one, but I feel like the other. You are what you are. God doesn't make mistakes. As for your feelings, tell me, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Well, I guess a God of some sort. It's got to be. Well, I'm going to recommend a pastor friend of mine, a man of God who will help you to understand your feelings. All right? The young man agreed. Prayers were said, and God's mercy was upon them. God's mercy was upon them. Oh, you know, you can go on and on about existence and where we came from and what am I really? But role reversal is not a part of God's agenda. No, it's not. Being born simply means coming into existence. Being born again is realizing existence and God, that each of us is wonderfully made in His image. Okay? Now, as we enter the world, at the very outset, God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan. Now, put your hand up if you know what that plan is. Do you know? The plan is simply this: to serve God. To serve God. We were created to serve God. Now, some may argue that point, but that's fine with me. I only give you what God has placed in my heart. Now, as we grow, we will begin to understand these things. And because we are just, well, naturally curious, well, God's perfect plan, it will unravel before us gradually or instantaneously. You see, God wrote a book. And in His book, He laid out a plan for each of us. Such a course, as many of us know, will not always be easy. Not always. Now, the path we must follow will have many turns and even potholes along the way. But mind you, these obstacles will not detain or prevent you from reaching your goal if you stay the course. If you stay the course, this is done. You may ask how. This is done. Stay in the course through prayer. Prayer. Prayer is contact with God. Now, if we move on to verse 2, you will discover that God has given us a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. What is revealed will be beautiful to the eyes. Beautiful to the eyes. Its beauty will depend upon how you nurture. How you nurture what you planted. Number 3, there will come a time to kill and a time to heal. Now, God will tell you what and when it is time to die. And when it is to be healed. I know God is in the healing business. I speak of what I know for sure. God healed me of 2 bouts of cancer. Yes, He did. Prostate cancer. Then years later, skin cancer. And He's healed me of other afflictions as well. You know, I'm a strong believer in praying without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The Bible says it. Pray without ceasing. I love to pray because prayer is contact with God. Now, what is involved and what adjustments may occur will be determined through the quality of your faith and the measure of your prayers. Is God well pleased with both concerning you? Is He? Well, number 4, there will be a time to break down and a time to build up. Now, such priorities will also be determined by the quality and quantity of your faith. Quality, quantity and quality. A little leaven can only grow with one's faith. A little leaven can only grow with one's faith. Number 5, a time to weep or cry, and a time to laugh. From Genesis down to Revelation, the Word of God has something to say about weeping. Weeping is a part of our existence. Even Jesus wept. Did you know that? Yes, He did. Genesis 43, 29 and 30. And if we go to Nehemiah chapter 8, Nehemiah chapter 8, let me get there. We read, let me see, verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 9, we read, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. When they heard the words of the law. Over in Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 21, we have the Beatitudes. Take a look, read them through. Important, important. Oh, yes, indeed. And in John 16, verse 20, Jesus says farewell to His disciples. temporarily, of course. In Romans 12, verse 15, Paul writes concerning Christian conduct, Christian behavior. The list goes on and on and on. A time to laugh and a time to weep. Psalm 2, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now, isn't that good news? It's better than crying in hell, isn't it? I would think so. In fact, I know so. Number 6. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, the word mourn appears over 130 times in the Scriptures. While the word dance, well, it shows up about 18 times. Which tells us people mourn more than they dance. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Now, some will say, well, I don't mourn. Mourning is being a crybaby. Is it really? You mourn when someone very dear to you dies suddenly? You mourn, don't you? To say you don't is to say you're not human. Number 7. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 5 and 6, we get a double whammy in the same verse. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Joel 2:16 and 1 Corinthians 7:5. Read them. Number 8, a time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. You'd rather keep, wouldn't you? But what is it you're keeping? Are you keeping your sins? Or are you giving them away and putting them under the blood of the cross? Now we get many different things in our lifetime. Some we keep until we die. Some you either give, sell, or just cast away. All besides that tiny maple leaf pressed between the pages of your Bible. I wonder how many people have a tiny maple leaf pressed between the pages of their Bible. Or for that matter, how many have a Bible to press the tiny maple leaf, or whatever kind of leaf it may be. Next in our ecclesiastical convoy is a time to rent and a time to sow. Now, to rent here does not mean to live in a condominium and pay the rent, a room, board, or whatever. No, we're talking about when to rent is a time to twist, destroy, and a time to sow. S-E-W. Sow. Okay? Us kids, we done the renting and mama done the sowing. That's the way it was in our home. And in the same verse we read, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Remember when in school how we spoke out of turn? Whenever we knew the answer to something, the teacher asked a question, instead of raising her hand, we said, oh, yeah, yeah. I know, I've done it many times. If we didn't know the answer, we'd put our heads down on our desk and hide behind the student in front of us. Because we didn't want to be picked. We didn't know the answer, right? Isn't that how it is today? If we don't know the answer, we usually hide behind someone who does. But the Word of God says there is a time. There is a time. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. In And what about a time to love and a time to hate? Wow, now there's one for you. A time to love and a time to hate? That means it's okay to hate, right? That's not what it means. It means there is a time. I mean, Jesus hated. God hates sin, doesn't he? But the love outweighs the hate. Because the greater the love, the more the hate diminishes. Does God love us? Well, he sure does. He sent his Son. He sent his only begotten Son to the cross to die for our sins, yours and mine, and the sins of the whole world. What greater love can there be than that? Does God hate us? Does God hate you or me? No. God loves you. God loves us. But he hates our sins. A time of war and a time of peace. Opposites, right? The opposite of war is peace. The opposite of peace is war. Tell me, which one do you prefer? In the world we live in today, it would seem there is more war than there's peace. And it seems to be getting more so every day, all over the world. People are dying for some cause or other. God's people have lost all respect with the world system. And the world can't function anymore because there's too much godliness in the way. And they want to eradicate that as quickly as possible. You know of whom I speak. Jesus Christ is an ugly, ugly word to these people. Christianity has no business in their world. And if they have their way, they'll kill us all. That's a sad commentary, but it's true nonetheless. Like I said, in the world we live in today, there is more war than peace. Now, your little nook or corner of the world may speak differently. You may be in a comfort zone where you don't have to think or worry about these actions of our enemies. I'm not going to name our enemies, because our enemies, the enemies of Christ, the enemies of God's children, are those who are not involved with the cross. That's who are the enemies of God. Those who deny what happened at Calvary. Those who deny there's a real God and have made their own gods and put them in place. Oh, it's a sad, sad state of affairs in many cases, but we have to face up to it. You know, I'm one who believes very strongly in praying without ceasing. I'm not saying I walk around all day praying. I don't mean that. But I mean always be in an attitude of prayer. And don't forget to pray for those not only whom you love, like family members and friends, close friends, but also pray for your enemies, that they will have a turning unto Christ. Oh, it's happening more and more every day. The Word of God is being abused. It's being taken out of schools, being taken out of everything that God once held dear. It's not God's fault. It's the fault of the enemy of God. When Jesus comes back, this will all change for the Christians. Yes, it will. If we look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 11, we read, "Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant." Wow. That's heavy stuff, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I want to be God's servant. I don't want what God gives to me to be rent out of my hands and given to someone else. You see, if God can't use you, then you can't be used of God. Have you got that one? If God cannot use you, then you cannot be used of God. God's not going to force you to love Him. God's not going to force you to obey Him. No, He gives us the choice. He gives us free will to do as we feel we should do. But the Bible, the Scriptures are clear. The sin of the world was so great and still is today that Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, went to the cross, suffered, bled, and died for the sin of the whole world. Well, He paid the price that we could not pay. What else is there to say, really? All we have to do is repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's what Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer. When he said, "What must I do to be saved?" They told him, "Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." My friends, some of the subject matter may have left you a bit confused regarding genderization. I would urge you not to be alarmed when and if such has or should occur in your family. No, please. If we allow ourselves to fully accept God's word as He intended, and pray unceasingly over such matters, you will understand that God's ways are not always our ways. I believe sincerely that when God is in the picture, all that we go through is dependent not only on what we say and do, but more so on the strength of our faith. On the strength of our faith. I pray that you understand what's being said here today, and that you will take it to heart, and that you will listen to it again if you're not quite sure. But God's not willing that any should perish. Please, give your life over to Christ today. Pay attention to what He's telling you. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.